You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and on this episode, we are discussing season 2 of The Punisher. I'm super excited to get into this because, boy, let me tell you, I had a lot of things that I was saying in my head into the screen while watching this. But before we do that, I want to quickly remind you guys or let you guys know that wherever you're listening to us, if you can stop, it takes like 10 seconds, not even, and leave a rating and even a comment. That would be highly appreciative because that helps me know that you guys are either enjoying or not liking the content. And yeah, it's much appreciated. So leave a rating or a comment, however, or whatever platform you're listening on, and all that great stuff. So now let's get into it. So we are discussing The Punisher, as I said, and this is season 2. So we come in. So I don't think I've ever discussed The Punisher in general, and I went back through the podcast episodes to see if I had a Punisher episode, and I didn't find one. So I think this may have been when I think season 1 came out when I went on a hiatus before relaunching as Currently Binging. So therefore, that is why there isn't a season 1 episode for this, and we're just going to jump right into it. So we kind of start off a little bit after where we left off. So we're not even going to really get into season 1 because I'm assuming if you're listening to me discuss season 2, then you've seen season 1. But pretty much Frank has gotten a free pass in life. So all of the crimes he has committed has been wiped clean, and he is living as this other person under a pseudonym, so no one knows who his true identity is, and he's not in New York City anymore. And so that is where we kick off, and that is kind of how we pick up our main characters throughout the season. So of course, the first person who he ends up, and I need to preface this by saying two things. The first very important thing that I need to say, that I say in every single comic book related TV show or movie that I talk about, I am not the comic book expert. I watch only the TV shows and the movies. I can count on one hand how many comic books I have actually read. I more so do this because I just love the TV shows and movies. So with that being said, I will go and I might Google something just to get a little bit more background on it. But for the most part, I stick to the TV and movie content. So that's the first thing that I wanted to get out of the way. The second thing is that with all Netflix shows, specifically sticking to Netflix as the streaming service, and also, I was going to say also sticking to Marvel Netflix shows, but it's just Netflix in general. I feel like a lot of these shows, because they are created in a binge format, and therefore we are getting 10 to 13 hours of content that they're expecting someone's going to just sit and watch all in either one sitting or two sittings or however many sittings. These seasons for me personally start off slow, a little on the slow side. So I feel like a lot of the earlier episodes, we get a lot of stuff that we really didn't need and doesn't really add anything to the overall story. So for example, with The Punisher, even though they do jump into it once they get into it, but like the first part of the first season or the first season, the first part of the first episode is Frank in this one night stand or relationship with this girl, and kind of I can see why they did that, to kind of give us an idea of what Frank could be like if he was like, this could be an alternate reality for Frank, and he could potentially have a life where he meets this woman, they build a relationship, and then her son kind of becomes his pseudo son, if you will. But then it's like, no, that's not essentially who Frank is. He is this other person who has this craving to fight and bring justice to people, which Amy alludes to a lot in this throughout the season. And even we do hear a little bit from Curtis and a little bit from Madani, but mostly from Amy. And Amy is our second main character this season. She's a new character, and she is essentially the driver for one of our storylines this season. She is who Frank ends up saving in a very epic bar fight because she is holding a piece of blackmail information that someone is murdering everyone over. So that's kind of, because, you know, when I do these things, I don't like to just recap it. Like, we're just going to get into the things that I want to talk about. So that's like a brief overview of how we start things off. So I think how I'm going to do this one is I mainly want to talk about the characters and some of the situations that we ended up in, because that was a lot of what I had physical or outward verbal feedback for as I was watching it. So let's get into it. So Amy, she is pretty young. No, not really sure how old she really is, because I do not remember them saying her actual concrete age, but she throws out a few ages, at least earlier on. So she is somewhere between 16 and I'm going to say like 20, but I think she was probably closer to like 18, maybe 19, but I'm going to go with she was at least 18. Who knows? If I missed it and you guys caught it and they said her actual real age, let me know. But I do know she did throw out like that she was 16 and that she was 20. So I'm just going to say she falls somewhere around 18. So with that being said, Frank ends up saving her. And I'm going to tell you what my problems were with Amy, because I liked Amy as a character, and I liked her dynamic with Frank throughout this season, because we know Frank's story, how he lost his whole family, which is a driver for, because I think there are about three storylines this season. So his family and Billy Russo was a driver for our second storyline. Our third storyline was Pilgrim, John Pilgrim, and kind of his storyline. It was like a subtle third storyline. But the two main storylines were Amy and this whole, which ties into John Pilgrim's storyline. So Amy and the whole blackmail situation, and then Billy Russo and pretty much closing the loop on that storyline from season one. So those were the two main storyline or story drivers this season. And Amy, while I loved her pairing with Frank, they had a lot of great moments. In the moments where they were both vulnerable with each other, I think some of the things that irritated me were earlier on and even later on. Because in the middle of the season, I feel like she was still a little bit annoying at some times. But for the most part, she was staying put and she seemed like she understood realistically what her situation was. But earlier on, it's like, okay, girl, all your friends got murdered. And you're on the run. You're holding a piece of information that someone is literally killing people over. And this guy ends up coming and saving you. It was very brutal, the whole situation. And then you act ungrateful to being saved and still having your life and breathing. I don't know why that just irritated me. And I struggled with her just being ungrateful for having her life saved. You could be dead. Had Frank not stepped in the bathroom, you would not be talking right now. So I just feel like she was ungrateful, especially for the first like three to four episodes, up until we get like they get settled in New York at Madani's place. So I loved Amy. I loved her dynamic with Frank, but her just selfishness pretty much, well, I mean, Frank is selfish too. We'll get into that later. But her selfishness and is more so ungratefulness and selfishness that I got from her that was just like, girl. And then when we move towards the end, when it's just like, I literally wrote in my notes, Amy just does not listen. Like, she just does not listen. He told you to stay here when she decides to follow John to back to his hotel. We're in like the last episode now. We're going to jump around a little bit. But when she decides to follow John back to his hotel, smart thing she does is she calls Frank. Dumb thing she does is whatever she was trying to do, or she was trying to get close to them, pretty much shooting each other and trying to kill the other one. So she's pretty much, I don't know what she thought she was going to do, but she inches close to that. And that is essentially how she gets snatched up by Pilgrim. And they end up in the situation in the end where him and Frank have their altercation. Mind you, just like the first season of Punisher, by the end of this season, everyone looks worn to nothingness. Like, everyone looks horrible by the end of this. So much blood, so many cuts and bruises and just blood. I know I said blood twice, but it was just a lot going on, at least appearance-wise and physically, with a lot of these characters. Like, they were walking around pretty much half dead. So, I mean, that's Amy for me. I liked her as a character. How we end is we see her and Frank, you know, they pretty much developed this really close relationship, and he calls her kid throughout the entire season, which I thought was fitting. And it kind of I like that he called her kid throughout, because it set the tone of their relationship. Because, you know, sometimes if you don't set that tone or distinguish what that relationship is, it can come off a little bit like you're like, okay, is this platonic, or are they trying to push this towards something that's a little bit more romantic? Because I see that happening. This is like totally unrelated, but I see that happening in The Good Doctor with some of their characters, where it's really blurry as to what that direction is they're trying to take some of those relationships. Is it platonic? Is it a more physical relationship thing? So I do appreciate that with him calling her kid, it established, no, Frank sees her as a kid, and therefore he is protecting her. Because, well, and when you call someone a kid, like, when you think of kids, like, they're defenseless, they're innocent in a way, even though, you know, Amy's not really innocent, but just speaking of kids in general, they're innocent in a way, and you feel like you have to protect them, and there's nothing sexual or romantic about it. It's just straight up like, no, you need to be protected from all these outward forces or exterior forces. So yeah, I like that he called her kid. I love their relationship, how their relationship developed up until the end. And if we are to get a season 3, which we'll talk about at the end, because Netflix has been playing games with our emotions over these last few months. But if we get a season 3, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Amy pop up. Just a quick pop up. We don't need a whole entire season of her. But I would like to see just how their relationship continues to develop. So, yeah. So that is Amy. Let's talk about Madani. So Dina Madani, who is, because we have our other main, because we have two main story drivers, and then we have like a sub story driver. I know these are probably not official words, but this is what is coming to my mind at the moment. But she's a part of our other main driver, which includes the storyline that's carried over from season 1. And we know that Billy shot her in the head, and surprise, surprise, a lot of people survived this season who in real life most likely would have died. I'm just saying. But she survived being shot in the head by Billy Russo, and she is not happy about it. Billy, at throughout the entire season, he still does not remember anything, which usually the writers would try, like, have it be where he would get some of his memory back. But for Billy, that doesn't really happen because he sees some of it in dreams, in his dreams or his nightmares, but it's not even like clear pictures. It's all frenetic and hectic and just images of this one thing, which is the skull or whatever that is that Frank has on his vest. It's a skull. Oh my gosh. So yeah. So I did not have a problem with Madani. I'm trying to remember how I felt about her in season one. With all things, and this is going to tie into Krista Dumont, who is the therapist, because I do have a semi-issue, and this is more so with Krista than with Madani, but it kind of, I mean, not really for season one for Madani, because she was unaware of who Billy was until essentially the carousel scene, or close up, or leading up to the carousel scene. But it's more so with Krista, and it also ties into Daredevil and with, Veronica. Yeah, with Veronica, who was the interest for Kingpin, which we're going to get into that when we talk about Krista. So let's stay on Madani. I actually did not have issues with her this season. There were some moments where I was just like, is no one paying attention to what is happening? Is no one asking questions anymore? Because some of these situations, I would be asking questions. It seems a little suspect. Not sure I can 100% believe you or trust you. And it's more so with her and Krista, because when we finally get to the scenes with her showing up at Krista's place, and then Krista invites her for wine. And I mean, as quickly as she was refilling that wine glass, I would be like, okay, wait a minute. Is she purposely trying to get me drunk? Because one sec. Like, those are the kind of questions I would have been like, something's not right here. But then she started to pick it up when Frank ends up in the hospital after he thinks he killed those girls. And I thought that was so obvious that he did not kill those girls, because just the way from where he shot at and then how they were sprawled out in the room. So I'm glad that they quickly were like, oh, wait, this doesn't seem right. And they went to the medical examiner and looked at the bodies and got his opinion, because that whole thing was insane. But yeah, so also, and this also kind of ties into, this was a theme that ties into not only Madani, but into Curtis and also into Mahoney, where I feel like those characters told the line of both sides so much that they contradict themselves. So it's like, this is talking more so Madani and Curtis. You have a strong hatred or dislike for Billy. You want Billy dead. But then, and the only person who you know who could do it without any feelings is Frank. But then when Frank gets to trying to do what it is you know that he could do, then it's like, oh, wait. And so I was just like, if that was the one thing that frustrated me a lot with Curtis and with Madani, because they just told that line on both sides where it's just like, oh, I'm a good person. I want like this outcome because this person has pretty much ruined my life, but I don't like the way you're doing it, type of a thing. With Mahoney, with him, I thought some of his actions were contradictory, because we just had Daredevil that came out, and you can go and listen to me talk about Daredevil if you haven't already. I will link it in the show notes. But we had season three of Daredevil. And we had Mahoney in that. And as I was watching, I was like, I feel like, yeah, he wanted to catch Matt Murdock, but also it was a little more leniency there. Whereas in this, he came in just guns blazing, like hardcore no, wanted Frank, he wanted Billy, and he was like, I don't care about all this other stuff that you guys got going on. Like, no, I'm taking them down. This is my case. They're going to jail. But it's like, you have Madonna. He's like, well, I mean, Frank is killing people. And yeah, he's not like the best person, but he has an honor. He has a code versus Billy, who's just like, no honor, no code. So I don't know. It was a little contradiction there with him as well. But back to Madonna. Towards the end, once she started to become smarter than how she had been acting earlier on, I was like, okay, girl, let's go. Like when we got to that fight between her and Krista, we see that it starts to click in her head that, okay, wait a minute, something's not right about this psychologist. And that is when Billy calls Frank in the hospital. It was like a little bit, you see on her face, like, okay, something about this is not right, which I think is what mainly leads to them being like, no, we need to look more into how these girls died. So we have that part, but then it also starts to click when, if Krista would have never called Madani that last time after Frank escaped the hospital. And so she's like, just selfish too. It's a lot of selfish people. It's a lot of selfish people on a lot of these shows, but there's a lot of selfish people on The Punisher in general. But when she's like, oh, he's gonna be, have his attention on trying to catch Frank and blah, blah, blah. So she decides to call Madani. And that was when I think it really clicked in Madani's head. And she was like, okay, something in the water is not right. And what is not right is this psychologist, and I need to go and check it out. So her going to the house, and then once Krista goes into the bathroom, like kind of searching around, that whole time I was like, oh my gosh, Billy's going to show up and he's going to murder her. But yeah, so we see her, she finds a little notebook that she had originally taken from the hospital that Billy then took from her after he broke into her apartment. So she finds that at Krista's place, and then it's like, okay, everything is falling into place. And so then it's like, okay, get my Homeland Security on. And then that fight, I enjoyed that fight. And there were some parallels for at least the close to death experiences for Krista and for Madani. So we learn that Krista, and I'm going to talk about Krista. It's going to be brief, but we learn that Krista, because we see she has this issue with like looking out the windows, clearly is something wrong with her. If you are like a psychologist or something, then I feel like there is a code there. And once you break that code into like personal sexual relations with your patients, then there is possibly something going on in your life that you probably needed to see someone for, which we clearly find out is the case with Krista. And so we find out that her father threw himself out of the window holding her because he wanted to kill her so that her mother would not have her. And then she ends up almost dying the same way a second time after Madani throws her out the window. And then it's the same for Madani, who is almost killed by the hands of Billy in the first season when he shoots her in the head. And then she's almost killed a second time after he goes ape shit on her after he finds Krista lying in a pool of blood on the sidewalk outside of her apartment. And he goes in there and tries to kill Madani and like chokes her out. And I honestly thought she was dead. I was like, okay, that is the end. There you go. But no, somehow, some way she survived, just like somehow, some way Krista survived. So overall, I enjoyed, or I enjoyed Madai this season. I really didn't have too many issues with her. Like I said, there were some instances where she told the line. Let's talk about Krista. Krista, we're going to keep this short. She clearly has some issues. And I knew, I'm sure it was apparent to everyone watching early on, that some type of relationship was going to develop between her and Billy, because she just seemed way, way invested in him, more so on a level that was just like not professional, which is why I was surprised that Madonna didn't pick up on it earlier. As far as the actress, so as I was watching this, I was like, she looks so familiar. I don't talk about the actress. I'm like, I don't know why she looks so familiar. She looks so familiar. What have I seen her in? So finally, after I finished watching, and as I was preparing for this episode, I went to the beloved IMDb.com and scrolled down to the actress who played Krista Dumont. And she is played by Floriana Lima, who was Maggie in Supergirl, who was, oh my gosh, what is Kara's sister's name? It is escaping my mind right now, but she was her girlfriend, and they end up being engaged. We're going to get married, but then that actress decided to leave the show. Like, she didn't want to be, like, it was her personal choice to not become a series regular or whatever. It's like all a bunch of articles about it at the time, because this was like 2017. But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that is her. That's why she looked so familiar. It just was not coming to me as I was watching it. So yeah, kudos to her. Let's talk about Curtis, because Curtis is also another one who was toeing the line throughout this season on wanting one thing, but then kind of contradicting himself based on him wanting to be a good person. I did like seeing that Curtis still supported Frank as a friend, and that Frank still had him there to lean on, because the thing about that makes like the Punisher an interesting character, in my opinion, is that, yeah, he does all these brutal things, but at the end of the day, yeah, he has his code, but at the end of the day, he does it because, and I can't remember who said this in season, but it is true. I think it was Curtis who said it. Like, he does all these things because he cares about people, but there are also people who care about him. So I was glad to see Curtis around, and that Curtis was, he was around, like, once we got back to New York, he was there for pretty much the whole season. I was scared the entire time that he was going to die. But he survived. So yeah, I love seeing Curtis there. Who do we have left? The main two we have left. So let's get into it, because I know that's what you guys are like. Okay, can you just get into the main people? So Billy Russo. He survived the brutal attack at the hands of Frank. And when we first see him, it's in the hospital. He has his mask on. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys. When I saw this mask, I was like, okay, what? Who did this kindergarten project on this man's mask? What is going on? So I literally paused it and Googled Jigsaw and was like, does he wear a mask or something? Like, am I just confused or lost? And the images I saw, he had it's cartoon. So he had a very drastic injured face, which I feel like you can really only do in cartoon the way that it looked. But yeah, so I was like, oh my gosh, like, what did they do to this man's face? I just want to see what his face looks like, because the actor who plays Billy, who's played by Ben Barnes, he is a very attractive guy, like very attractive. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what's he gonna look like now? When we finally see him without the mask, I was like, okay, wait a minute. He still looks really, really good. Like, I'm not even kidding you. So to me, because I was like, okay, you still look really attractive even with these scars. But I mean, it's like to each his own, like that individual person's perception of their appearance, especially if they've gone through something that dramatically changes their appearance. Because I mean, if I got attacked and then I end up with scars all over my face, I think I would initially, and this is for everyone, I would be upset about it and wanting to hurt or destroy whoever did it to me, especially if it was someone who, like, actually did it to me. I'm just saying. But I was like, you don't look that bad, Billy Russo. You still look good. So let's talk about Billy, because we know that Billy does not remember what all he did to Frank, which justifies him wanting to seek answers and figure out why, like, who is this, what does this image mean that's showing up in his nightmares and that he's drawing up? Like, all of that is valid. He essentially, and then this is, like, getting more into, I think, like, look into people's mental capabilities and all that stuff, which is, like, not something I'm an expert at. But the fact that he broke out of the hospital and then essentially started doing things that, had he still had his memory, he probably still would have done. It's kind of like, okay, Billy is just a bad person at the end of the day. When he does, because when he breaks into Madani's apartment, I was scared so many people were going to die because so much stuff happened this season where it's just like, oh my gosh, you're going to die. Oh, I forgot to talk about John. We'll circle back. But when he breaks into her apartment, then she tells him, like, you killed his family. He's like, but I would never do that. They were his family was my family. But it's like, no, you killed his family. This is why he's coming after you, and he's going to keep coming after you until you're essentially dead. And the fact that he took that, internalized it, and sped it out in a way that made him not the victim, that made him still the victim, I was like, okay, you know what, Billy? There is no redeeming you at all, because there just isn't. So he was like, well, then he should have killed me. He shouldn't have left me like this. And I was just like, oh, wow, wow, wow. Cry me a river. Whatever, Billy Russo. I don't know why I like saying his entire name, but yeah, Billy Russo, aka Jigsaw, because there were a couple of Jigsaw references thrown out there. But yeah, so I was just like, whatever, Billy. But I think that was one of the things that I was just like, it just speaks to his internal character, regardless of what his mental state was. And even in the end, as he's bleeding out and dying, and the one moment that I did like is when he went to pick up the flowers for Krista, because he pretty much went to his crew, because y'all, he created a crew of psycho killers, but he went to his crew. It was pretty much like, I'm done with this. Like, no one else needs to die for this or whatever. And then as he's walking back to Krista's apartment, he stops and he gives her the blue flowers and then he smiles. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this the first time he genuinely smiled, like, on his own? He still looks really, really good, even with the scar. This is literally what's going through my mind. And I liked that moment for what it was. I think it paid off for when he did show up at the crime scene, if you will, where Krista was thrown out of the window. And we see his reaction. And it's like, okay, that, I believe your reaction. And Madani, you're gonna die. Kind of a thing. Like, I appreciate all that. But I'm sorry. Billy was just crazy. And even in the end, as he's bleeding out, he goes to this random doctor for help. And that's just like, oh, you need to be put out. You need to be put down. Like, you need to be put down because it's going to hurt. Like, I don't care who you are, it's going to hurt. Or like, no, I'm not qualified for this. You need to go to the hospital. He's like, no, you're going to do this. So then when he passes out and the doctor takes off his money and throws him in the dumpster, I was like, oh my gosh, that was classic. But then the fact that he then calls Curtis and thinks that Curtis is going to come and just sit and talk to him, because Billy is a very manipulative person. He thinks that Curtis is going to show up and talk to him and just tell him everything that he wants to hear and reassure him that he is still this image of the person that he has in his mind that he can only remember up to. So I love the fact that Curtis didn't even try. I mean, by this time, Curtis was done with everybody. He was like, I just want to go home. It has been a long few days. I don't want to be bothered. And so he just sent Frank, and Frank just put an end to it. But that's the end of Billy. no more Billy Russo if we are to get a season three. Let's circle back. But I did think that Billy was crazy this season, which made sense. And I am glad that, because I kept saying, because there were the two main storylines, I more so wanted to see someone else from this story driver be the one to kill him. So the fact that Madani was the one who pretty much put him on the road to death, I like that. And I mean, I wish she could have like killed him. But I mean, he was pretty much dead by the time Frank showed up because he was bleeding out. But I do like that it was her, because I really wanted like one of the girls to step up. Cause, and I felt the same way with Amy and her storyline, that like I wanted them to be the ones to save themselves, if you will. But I mean, the show's called The Punisher, so that wasn't really going to happen. But I'm glad that Madani got her shots in. So let's circle back to John, because we also have this sub storyline I was going on, where we had this psycho killer who was out pretty much on a contract to kill Amy, and then by association, Frank, which I was so confused why Frank had to die. Like, I just did not know why he had to die, at least earlier on, because at that point, it just seemed like Frank was a bystander who jumped in, and then he was a trained bystander. But at that point, I was like, I don't think he knows anything, so I don't understand the strong desire to kill him. But then as we get along farther on, it's like, okay, by this point, he probably knows what information Amy is holding. So there was that. But I thought it was an interesting story because, and I don't know if I was the only one, but I was a little bit confused by this whole storyline in general, because we had the whole reason why Amy had to die is because the Russians had contracted out or hired the group that she was running with to take these photos of the Schultz's son, who is David Schultz, who's a senator who they were priming to become president because he is gay, and the image showed him being intimate, but kissing another man. And so they and the Russians were going to use it to blackmail the Schultzes. And so this is how John ends up getting involved. And I don't know if it was just me, but I was confused as to, because it seemed like he was a part of like some religious cult or something. I mean, those are the vibes I was getting. So I was confused as to why they were contracting him out to kill, like why they were so for him going out and killing all these people. And didn't really click until towards the middle. I was like, okay, wait, because we saw the older guy and we saw the woman, Mr. and Mrs. Schultz. But at that point, I don't think we knew their names, like when we saw them on the screen. So that's why I think I was a little bit confused as to it being their son. And that's why they were so for him murdering all of these people. But I will say that he did have an interesting story, and we kind of find out in a little bit after the middle of the season kind of how he ended up where he ended, and like that he used to live in New York, and he was used to run around with a gang. He drank a lot, did drugs, promiscuous, all that stuff, and then pretty much a broken down truck led him onto the path that we see him, or to his family situation that we see him in. And then we find out his wife is dying from like cancer. And it's just like a sad story for him. But I think it also helped pay off when we do get to that confrontation between him and Frank, because essentially they are sort of kind of like the same person. Whereas at this point, because I thought he was going to be like, after Miss Schultz showed up at the hotel and after his wife died, I thought he was going to be like, look, this is not my fight anymore. Because he even said, he was like, why am I going to kill Frank or whatever? Like, he had nothing to do with it. I can't remember the exact words he said, but since you're along those lines, I thought he was going to be, I was like, thank you, waking up, can we, acknowledgement. But then he still went after him. But essentially, they were kind of acting in the same realm, because while Frank was like avenging his family, at least with Billy, at this point, after his wife dies, then it's like him trying to get his sons back from the Schultz, who were like, they were just a creepy old couple, to be for real. So I really liked this fight scene between him and Frank, because it was very brutal. And you're talking about two people who, at up to this point, have not lost, and they fight dirty. And so I don't know how either one of them walked away from it, because they were not holding anything back as far as throughout their fight. And so at the end, I mean, we know that we saw like Frank like was pretty much hitting him in the head with this huge metal thing. I'm surprised he didn't die. I felt that way about a lot of people, but where he's hitting him in the head with this huge metal thing, and then we don't see him take the final shot. So, I mean, that was alluding to him not killing him and letting him reconnect with his sons, which we see in the end. And I have to say, of all the scenes, my favorite scene was when Frank and Amy show up and Frank shoots Mrs. Schultz in the head. And Mr. Schultz's reaction to that, that was such a good scene. And then you see as Frank is talking to him and Mr. Schultz is still in shock, and all he's literally just staring at the pool of blood that's getting closer and closer to him. I don't know why, but I really enjoyed that scene. So yeah, I mean, for the most part, did I talk about Frank in depth? I mean, I think Frank, I liked that Frank, for the most part, stood by who he was. He's brutal. He knows that he will do things that other people wouldn't necessarily do, especially in relation to Billy, the whole Billy situation. But then the fact that we got to see, yeah, he's a killer, but he also has a heart and cares for other people. And I think that that was shown very well with his relationship, not only with Curtis, but specifically with Amy throughout this season. In the end, I do like that in the end, we see that Madani leaves Homeland Security and she joins the CIA and she calls to offer him a job. And I think the end was a little bit, it was pretty comic booky, but as far as him like showing up in at that scene and like just shooting up everybody, but I do like that he declined her job offer and it's like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. So yeah, I thought there were a lot of good things that happened this season. I enjoyed this season. It took me 3 days, I want to say, to binge it. I originally planned to do it in 2 days, but chopped it up a little bit smaller and did it in 3. So yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think that's everything that I wanted to cover from the season. We can talk about a possible season 3. So I mean, it's no surprise, of the 5 Netflix Marvel or Marvel Netflix shows, 3 have already been canceled. And that is not counting The Punisher or Jessica Jones, because Jessica Jones was renewed after their second season, which was earlier in 2018. So before they started just canceling everything. And also, I believe that was before the deal between Disney and Fox went through. So I think that deal, to me, and I talked about this on when I talked about Marvel, I think that was a driver for, or not even a driver, but I think that did have play a part into some of the decisions as far as canceling some of these shows. So if The Punisher is canceled, I would not be surprised. I think it's along the lines of, I don't think any of the shows should have been canceled, but especially I was surprised Daredevil. I mean, I wasn't really surprised, but I think of any of the shows that got canceled, Daredevil, I think, could have continued on, because I just think it could have. So, and I felt like The Punisher, I mean, because Daredevil launched, Daredevil launched a lot of these shows, to be honest, but like a storyline, or The Punisher's storyline started in Daredevil. So, oh yeah, we did see Karen this season. I didn't mention her, but I love when we see our characters from our other shows. So we did see her. But as far as if we don't get a season 3, I won't be surprised. Could we do another season? I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. I think that there's still some things they can do with the Punisher that we haven't seen. And I think that this second, because the Punisher is so brutal, and I mean, it's on Netflix, so you're seeing everything. It is a very brutal show. So I think, and just with that structure, I think the second season, for the most part, I enjoyed with it being that brutal. Because sometimes when you have something that's like that, it's like, okay, what does the second season look like? Does it make sense? Is it something that people can stomach or still want to see? And I think that they accomplished that and more with the second season. So I wouldn't be opposed to a third season, but I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix canceled it. So yeah, that is pretty much all I have to say. I feel like I pretty much covered everything that I wanted to talk about, which was more so around the characters of this season and how they drove our story for season 2. So yeah, I want to know what you guys thought about season 2 of The Punisher. As always, you can let me know by commenting on the Instagram posts related to this episode at Currently Binging, or you can tweet me at Current Binge. And yeah, I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.